Welcome to On Boys, real talk about parenting, teaching, and reaching tomorrow's men. We're your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net and Janet Allison of boysalive.com.
Well, we'd like to think we've moved on from the boy stereotypes and the fact that girls can wear pink and like ballerinas and mermaids, and boys can't, although that is changing. And I love that we have a social revolutionist as our guest today. She is changing that mindset of boys can't like pink, boys can't dance, boys can't like mermaids and Barbies. And Sassy, welcome. We are so happy to welcome you today and hear about how you started this movement called My Boy Can. Welcome. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is so exciting. So my boy can.
How did you start? How did this come?
Okay. So basically, I do have a son myself, and he is somebody who doesn't conform to the male gender himself in terms of his favorite things are Barbies and mermaids and Elsa, which is fine. But what we found is within our community, we are facing a little bit of negativity towards him. And so I decided that I needed to do something to kind of support him and just try and see who else is out there to see if I can actually connect with other people, just to see who else is going through the same thing. So I started a page literally to kind of moan and let everything off my chest of what I'm going through. And it's just been wonderful because lots of other families have connected to me and just said, do you know what? Our son's exactly the same and we're facing the same issues. And what can we do? What can we do as community to kind of make a change? And it's taken off from there, which has been brilliant.
I love that you instinctively seem to realize what we find so often. If one boy parent, boy family is going through something, there are others out there dealing with that same exact thing. And that's where we find our power. And that's, I think, and I know Janet agrees with me, that's how we can finally start making change, when we stop keeping all of this inside of ourselves and our homes as a problem to be solved and start connecting with others and say, hey, if this is happening to all of us, maybe the problem isn't my kid or my family.
Exactly.
It's a bigger issue.
Or the problem isn't just the United States, because as I didn't mention in the beginning, lives in Portsmouth, England. So this is an international issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what we're finding on the page. It's not been local people per se, it's been worldwide, which is why for me it became very overwhelming, because all of a sudden I was like, actually, this is a global situation, this is a conversation and discussion globally that needs to happen. And it just came to light from there, which is amazing. Yeah.
So tell us about you sort of picked an avenue to go down first, I believe, and I may have this wrong. But I understand there's a first campaign and a hashtag around My Boy Can Dance.
That's right. I just started the page just generally as almost like a blog, and that was absolutely fine. And we had generally a small amount of followers, and the discussion was happening. And my son particularly was a part of a dance school, and I don't know where it all came from, but he was told that if he danced at the age of 4, that he is either a girl or a gay. And that's when I was like, I don't know if it's come from a child, an adult, just through the language. And he decided he just couldn't do ballet anymore. And for me, that was when I kind of decided that actually I needed to do something a bit more specific than just have a blog. And so I decided to contact all the schools just with our community in Portsmouth, dance schools that is, and just ask, how many boys actually attended their classes? Do they face stigma themselves within our community? And can or would they be interested in doing a small project with myself where we were going to get all the boys together and do a photo shoot and just kind of empower them a little bit to say, look, you all do it. You're all part of this community. We all support you, your family, your dance schools, your dance family. We all support that. And so we started with this idea for a little project within Portsmouth. Well, the powers of Facebook that be, as soon as it went on Facebook, all of a sudden other communities and up and down the country and around the world were saying, we want to do it. And I thought, I can't, I at the moment, I haven't got the facilities to be able to make that happen. So we decided to start a campaign, and we just encouraged everybody to just take photos of their friends, their family, anybody they knew that was a boy that danced with the hashtag My Boy Can Dance. And it just went crazy. And that is literally what has spurred on My Boy Can. So all you have to do is just type in the hashtag My Boy Can, and anybody that has shared it, made it public, and it is worldwide, it's been brilliant. They have all now just got behind it, and they're just showing their support for their boys. And obviously, alongside that, now more people are now joining the discussion, and companies are interested in seeing what we want to do and where we want to go with it. And in Portsmouth itself, what initially was meant to be a small little project for a couple of boys, I now have 130 boys within Portsmouth wanting to take part. And the photo shoot we're doing will take place in September, but also local theatre companies and the council and things have asked if we can create a project to engage with those boys and offer extra support and see if we can offer things like so the theatre, when they've got touring companies coming in, their professionals will actually have a discussion with them, and then they can go see the shows and things like that. So it's connecting everybody and just trying to empower the boys to say, well, look what you're doing, and it's amazing, and keep doing it. So
this is fantastic. So brilliant. I am blown away. I know Janet is. Janet knows a little about my story, my son's story. My oldest is now 21. He was 4 when he said he wanted to take dance class. I talked about it with his dad, and his dad and I connected in high school because we were both part of, we called it show choir, but it's singing, dancing, performing. So he was not opposed to the idea. So Nathan took dance class and loved it. And also very quickly realized he was the only boy in the class.
Yes.
He took lessons for 2 years, and he started to internalize that message that this is for girls, and he quit.
Yes.
Now, he did eventually find other avenues, and he did, he was involved in theater in middle school and in high school, and he was in the same exact show choir that his dad and I were in, you know, 20 years later.
Full circle.
And he did that through college. But that stereotype, it's 2019. It is 2019. And these boys are still dealing with gay, girly, constantly.
Well, yes. And the fascinating thing about this, I find, is that like so many things around this stereotype that we've created socially, is that dance is very physically challenging. You have to be coordinated and strong. And there's football players who take dance lessons so that they can be more coordinated and strong. And so we have, as happens so often, we have this conundrum of, you know, here's this sport of dance that requires such physicality, and yet we're saying, oh, boys, you know, no, that's too girly. You can't do
that.
So the mixed messages are insane. And I love that you are just putting it right out there, Sassy. I'm curious if your boy has had any response to all of this activity.
He stopped dancing. It happened before we started doing the hashtag My Boy Can Dance. And he's very much engaged in looking at the images. He likes to see the the posts that are being posted by everybody in the videos and sharing of just what the boys out there can do. And he enjoys that. He does dance around at home. He does dance around in the street and everywhere else. He just isn't comfortable within a dance lesson. Mm-hmm. And I agree, a lot of it is to do with the way the dance lessons, I believe, are kind of set up. There's so many girls in within the lesson. He was the only boy. So right. As soon as he walked in and he was told, you're a girl, yes, of course he's going to think that, because as soon as he got that information, he processed it of, actually, if I look around, everybody's right. Everybody was in their pink tutus. He was the only one in the shorts and t-shirt. Just little messages like that where he just didn't quite, he didn't feel like he fitted in within that. Sure. And I have heard of, there are lots of other people and dance schools that are trying to make it so that there are boy only classes, and they're becoming very successful. But unfortunately, unless you've got X amount of boys that want to attend, I mean, it wouldn't happen at Jaden's dance school because he was the only boy. So
that was the same exact problem we faced. There just were not enough boys in the area who were frankly willing to stand up and do it. It's almost like you have to reach that critical mass before that can happen.
Definitely. Funnily enough, though, as soon as I put out that I was looking for the boy dancers within Portsmouth of all ages, there are a lot of them. They all attend X amount of schools. So there might be one or two in each school, mm-hmm. but actually, and we're all within the same area, but they didn't realize that actually there was 100 of us. Like, there's lots of us that we can all come together. But the ages, again, they varied from the age right. of 3 to the 18. So, I mean, I think we've got about 11, 10-year-olds, but they all went to different schools. So there is kind of, there would be a need for it, I suppose, if all of these boys came together, there could be a dance school. But a lot of them are settled with their own okay. dance teachers within the school they're in at the moment. So it's a weird one. I don't know how you would change that.
You start the way you are by, yes. first of all, helping boys realize that there are other boys doing that. You know, I mean, I know you know this. There are other boys who have never danced, but maybe want to,
yes.
And are watching this happen and just waiting for the signal that it's safe to do so. And the truth of the matter is, it is not necessarily safe for boys to dance in 2019. I pulled up some stats getting ready for this podcast. I'm famous for that here. This gentleman did a study and found that 93% of boys involved in ballet, 93%, reported teasing and name calling.
Yes.
68% experienced verbal or physical harassment. 11% said they were victims of physical harm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Physical harm. This is how powerful these cultural expectations about what a man should be, what a boy should be, what a boy can do are. And our boys sense this. They're trying to be safe. So in doing what you're doing, Sassy, you are creating safety for these boys.
I'd like to think so. I think also, for me, the main thing is I'm trying to, I suppose it is safety, but I'm trying to empower them all mm-hmm. just to feel that it's okay. It is all to do with language, of the masculinity type of language. And a lot of it, the teasing that they face, it is all name calling. But knowing that it's worth it, that what they want to do is something that keeps them happy, and empowering them to say, look at how far you can go and look at all of you together. I think that's the important message. And I think that's what needs to happen. And I think, yeah, you are right. It is about safety, because it's almost like they're having to come out to their friends and family and say, yes. I dance. And that to me is absurd. And I'm a dancer, so I come from a dance background. So for me, as a girl, you just don't have to do that. You just, it's almost expected. If you're a girl, you probably would dance. It's just, but for a boy, a lot of them will say, well, no, none of my friends know. I don't tell them until they're very much older, maybe college even, when it's one of their options that they want to take it further, because they know they want it to be a career. But before that, I don't feel that people feel safe enough to say it. It's very interesting.
Many boys face prejudice, ridicule within their own families. The study that I was referring to, his research also revealed that for many boys, their father is the number one obstacle, kind of saying, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this. And I can see how for some dads, they feel like they're protecting their son in this weird way, because they know their son has to exist in this culture, and this culture is still not accepting of it. But, you know, talk about putting up a barrier between you and your son, and not allowing somebody to be who they are. What thoughts do you have on that? You know, let's say somebody's listening and they have a son and he wants to dance, but not everybody in the family is on board with that.
I think that's a really difficult one. You have to be quite a strong individual, I think, just to persevere with it and to keep going. I have the boys that I've come in contact with, a couple of them have faced that and have had to kind of go against their family in terms of knowing that they're not 100% supported behind it. But they've got that kind of inner drive, their passion for the dance, that they will keep going. I believe it's the ones that will stop and decide they don't want to do it anymore. They're the ones that you kind of have to help a little bit more to have that discussion. I think a lot of it comes down to education. I'm now having more talks with people. I think that there needs to be kind of more discussions within schools about kind of gender and different activities and kind of that everybody can do. And I think the more that we can see and have activities which allow the boys to kind of express themselves through dance and drama and things, will open up the doors for them. But it's whether or not that's accessible to them or not. For the boys themselves that are, it's such a tricky one, because I couldn't imagine being in that position of hearing my own father say, well, you shouldn't do that, or it's not really for you to do. It's a really, really hard one.
It's heartbreaking.
It is very heartbreaking. And it's what really gets to me is it's so much passion that the dancers that do face this and carry on and succeed, they are the ones that I just, wow, because I as an individual, and my son already, we've already shown that we couldn't face that as a battle that we'd have to face daily. And I think, so for them, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, it really elevates the looking at the dancers that have made it, the male dancers that have made it through. It kind of elevates even more the amazing work that they are doing. And have you had contact with any professional dancers, male professional dancers?
I've had a couple of dance teachers that have worked professionally within the world that have contacted me, and they're more than excited because they just want to help and be on board and do workshops and speak and do everything like that. So it's opened up so many links, which is what we want, which is perfect, because as the project develops and we move on to different cities and different nations and things, it's having the pool of people there that will be able to come and link in and say, actually, we've done it and we would like to speak to you about our experiences and what drove us to go through it, and how we managed to get through to the other side and what we had to face and how we dealt with that. And also then when they have the workshops with these boys, it's just so inspiring to them to know that it's not just a mum that's sitting there saying, you can do it, it's okay. It's really nice to see a male role model.
While I was preparing for this episode, I ran across a brand new documentary put together by a guy here in the United States, and the movie is called Dancer.
Yes. And I've just contacted them because I want to screen it in the UK as part of the project.
We will include the trailer in our show notes, as well as a link to their website, because he did this documentary movie about boys pursuing ballet. And the obstacles that they face and how they're doing. And it is available, like if you want to screen it in your community, you can contact him and get the movie and the licensing to screen it in your community. And just watching that trailer, I saw so clearly what you referred to. The boys who do persist, their passion is so deep and so obvious. In the trailer, there's a couple of these boys and they talk very bluntly about things that people told them, but they are glowing from within inside because they are doing this thing that is a part of them that they were born to do. We've been talking about dance, but really this is all much bigger than this. And that's the whole point of My Boy Can.
Yes, this is just one strand of it. My Boy Can would be the umbrella, and then this is just one strand that's coming off of it.
What if there's a mom out there listening or a dad, and they have a son who is likes to dance around the living room? What would you tell them?
I would say to encourage it. It is nothing more fun and just inspiring and just enjoyment of seeing children just in that element of dancing and singing and just getting lost in that kind of world of just of imagination and music. And it's wonderful to see. So I would just run with it. I do encourage other people and say, oh, if they've really got a huge passion for it, then do take them to the dance lesson. Really enjoy just that moment with them. There's so much that you can see through dance, I think, with a personality of a child, and just in the choice of music, like they'll just get lost in it, and it's wonderful.
Dance is so huge. You know, we've mentioned specifically ballet, but there's jazz, there's tap, there's hip hop, there's every kind of music, every kind of genre. And so that can be an option for families too. I mean, let's face it, if your boy is facing a lot of discrimination and getting a lot of flack from his friends because he's in ballet, you know what? Maybe find a different style for him for a while. You know, do what you can to help him find a balance between what he wants to do and what he can do while he's dealing with all of that pressure.
And sometimes it can be, so it can just be going to a local event where they just want to stand on the dance floor with everybody else and move. And that's empowering. That's amazing. So sometimes it doesn't mean they have to do the lessons. It doesn't mean they have to actually go out and find a technique or anything like that. Sometimes it's just about being lost in that music and the movement and just the bodies and the mass of people and just enjoy it. And so many people enjoy that. So that's what I think some people, you can get caught up in a little bit. And this is what's happened with my son. He doesn't want to do his ballet lessons at the moment. That's fine. But I'm just allowing him to still have that fun, play with dance. We're seeing different genres of dancing, like what you've said. He is only four. So it doesn't matter if he doesn't really decide to go to a dance class again. But if in a couple of years he says, well, actually, I really like the look of street dance, brilliant, go ahead, have a try. I think it all comes down to just saying they can do it. And it's just that support. And I think that's what My Boy Can has become, because there's so many people that will just say, oh, no, you can't, or you shouldn't because you're a boy, or you can't really because what if you get bullied and this. And just don't say that. Just step back and just say, yeah, try it.
You can do anything.
Yeah. And then you have to, yes, okay, you might face some of that negativity. But I think as long as the support's there and as long as the people are there saying, like, the love and everything's there for them, they will either strive with that and absolutely think this is brilliant and run with it, and the passion will drive them, or they will just say, actually, I don't like facing that negativity. That's fine, because you were their safe place anyway. They will continue to do it at home. Mm-hmm. They'll continue to do it within their safety, and that again is fine, as long as they know they're supported. It's as soon as you say no, you can't, that's when the wall comes up. And I think that's what, like what we were saying earlier, that's when they internalize it, and that's when it becomes deeper than it just being a matter of them just wanting to have a go at something. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So many of us who are women know what it's like to get those you can't messages. And for a lot of us, it has changed within our lifetime. And now you don't think of telling a girl, no, you can't do that because you're a girl. Many of us don't realize until we become boy moms that these messages are still very, very, very strong for boys. So we begin by making this change at home. We amplify it by connecting with others like you are, and this is going to go around and it is going to change the next generation and beyond.
That's what I really, really hope. It is just about opening those discussions. And I totally agree with you. I was very much aware of kind of the feminism and the movements. And I feel very empowered. I feel every day on my Facebook, I see a lot of empowerment, a lot of t-shirts, a lot of slogans, a lot of memes, everything. And as soon as I had a boy, I realized there was none of that for boys. And that's what really, really drove me, because I just thought, actually, this is what needs to change. Because the minute there's such a small, it's a matter of language, I think. As soon as there's some positivity for them, all of a sudden everything will kind of change automatically and organically, that we will see it improve, and the attitudes will improve, and boys will feel more supportive and more positive in their decisions. And I think mental health and then so on, everything will just kind of carry on. It'll have a knock-on effect, and that's what I believe. And I just think it is the same with what's happened with women and feminism and everything. Exactly what you were just saying on, I just couldn't imagine somebody trying to tell me as a woman, you can't do that, because my automatic, I will fight that. But right. for a man or a young boy, they automatically like, oh, okay, yes, okay, yeah, there's boundaries. And I don't see why they're so influential still. Yeah. That's for me personally, I don't understand why they control us so, oh, boys, so much. I don't know what that's helping at all.
We're right there with you, Sassy. We're right there with you. And together we are making that change. It feels like glacier speed, but it's happening. And, you know, with you doing My Boy Can, My Boy Can Dance, it's happening in yet another realm. And that's, you know, it's just going to be step by step like that.
Definitely.
Tell our listeners where they can join you in this campaign, My Boy Can Dance. Perfect. And also in the bigger picture of My Boy Can.
We're on Facebook predominantly. So our page is just My Boy Can. Also within that, there's a couple of groups. So we've actually got the My Boy Can Dance group, and we've also got a My Boy Can group. So again, it's just open for discussions. A lot of us are parents. It's not just mums, it's dads as well. And parents with sons that are just facing the stigma of not quite conforming to the gender identity or stereotype, even. It's not even identity, it's the stereotype.
It's the stereotype. It's this narrow man box that we have talked about and mentioned time and again. It is this teeny tiny definition of what's okay to be a boy, and it is time to blow that up and make it so much bigger.
Yes, definitely. But on top of that, a lot of it is I believe there's so many families and boys that are doing that, but it's not accessible in the wider world at the moment. Mm-hmm. So for instance, my son absolutely loves mermaids. We've got all the mermaid stuff, that's brilliant. We can't find, unless we go get it made or we have to look really specific for it, you can't go into a shop and get a mermaid t-shirt for a boy, just because it's so regimented to the stereotype. And with clothing and things, and I know there's other pages like Let's Toys Be Toys and Let's mm-hmm. Clothes Be Clothes that do all of this as well. But it's that, it's as long as this discussion and everybody keeps on saying, well, actually there is a small demand for it. I believe there's a big demand for it, but you know, we are here and we want to see it. I think as long as those discussions and everybody's coming together and keep saying it, it will, like you say, it will just naturally have that impact of saying, yes, it will change and it is going to happen. And we do have an Instagram page as well. We are encouraging for the My Boy Can Dance campaign. We are just encouraging everybody. So if you've got a family member, a friend, it could be your brother, anybody, just anybody that you know that's male that dances and you think that's brilliant and you support them, just take a photo.
My dad is going to be 83 this month. He loves to polka dance more than anything in the world. Oh. I need to find a video of him dancing and upload this.
Yes, please. And with then just hashtag My Boy Can Dance.
Yes. I love it. I love it. So everyone out there listening, look around your community, find those little pockets, and we're going to bust this wide open. And Sassy, you're leading the way. And I just think it's so brilliant. And I'm so appreciative of you taking up this mission, because it has to be a social revolution.
It has become a mission, and I do hope it becomes a social revolution. I hope it really does reach more people and gets the message out there. And like you said, the My Boy Can umbrella, there's so much that can come underneath it, and there's so much that we discuss. Like this week I was literally talking about boys with long hair. It's nothing to do with dance. The discussion of my boy wanting to walk around with a doll, that's another discussion. Just so many little things which they just seem so trivial, but yet have such a big impact on a young boy and older boys, and just having that discussion. So hopefully it will continue, and the discussion will just continue and continue and continue until one day we can sit here, have a discussion and say, wow, look what happened.
And we can just drink our tea and be good with it.
We'll have no jobs.
Oh, Sassy, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And we look forward to sharing your message far and wide.
Thanks for joining us. We are Jennifer L.W. Fink and Janet Allison, and we are here to support you in parenting and teaching tomorrow's men.